extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Wow, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer. When in doubt, Tommy Scoops, Tom Bogert, David Goss. Stefano Fusaro is here. Let's go.
Let's go.
A new, not a new friend, an old friend, but a new partner, right? Yeah. I think that's true. This is a debut.
Debut on Extra Time. I feel honored, and I couldn't pass up an opportunity.
And
to put on the three-star jersey.
Is that Doyle's jersey? And then swapping in for him, you put on his jersey?
Come on. Yeah, yeah.
Steph, what did it feel like to hear, to be present physically for Weeby's open to one of these shows? Like, was that electric? Did you have to pinch yourself?
You were in
Miami for Messi, and you were at that game, but like, this was more special, right?
Oh, yeah, clearly. I mean, come on. I got to shake Messi's hand, but this didn't compare at all.
Oh, well, we have a liar on the show. And so everything he says, take with a grain of salt. Obviously, you were there for history, for one of the most epic moments in MLS history, and I'm not going to extend it further than that, lest we get some Euro snobs and others diving into the mentions. But Lionel Messi makes his debut, 54 minutes, 13 seconds. The Chosen One comes on just before the final whistle. The Chosen One ends it, a win versus Cruz Azul, sealing League's Cup as the premier World Cup-style tournament between two leagues in the entire world. So we got a big show for you today. We've been off for, what, Dave, 7 days? Maybe more than that? It's been a full week?
Correct.
I worked last week.
That's true. I didn't. You did. Yeah. That was real work.
Me and Kalen and John Arnold did a 4.5-hour show to preview League's Cup. So I've been here. I don't know where you're
Go listen to it. If you're behind, you're watching League's Cup right now on MLS Season Pass, you're like, I don't know anything about Necaxa.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll tell you what you need to know.
You will learn about Kate Upton and the other celebrity owners.
Not where I thought that was going.
No.
Same.
I can't remember any of the other owners of Necaxa. Yeah, they have celebrity owners.
Yeah, they're like the SoCal crew that like rolled in.
And I'm pretty sure Kate Upton's one of them. Yeah. It's the only one. I assume Justin Verlander is too then, but that's really as far as
I know. Great stuff from us off the top. We're just locking people in. We'll give you the best things we saw in League's Cup. Look ahead. This is not going to stop. It's basically three nights in a row, one night off. We'll roll all the way through the group stage that way. Then it's round of 32, single elimination, all the way through the final in late August. So, yeah, we're locked in on League's Cup for a while now. Want to also say we're locked in on the Women's World Cup. U.S. with 3-0 win against Vietnam to get things started. USA. Canada, scoreless draw against Nigeria. But we're going to leave all the Women's World Cup analysis, unless you guys have a hot take of sorts or just a good one that you feel compelled to push out there, for people that do it professionally and do it much better than we would ever do it. So watch the tournament. Enjoy the tournament. Remember, we're all used to watching soccer all the time at all different hours. So
it's tight. It completes the night. You know, if Columbus St. Louis ends at 1:30 in the morning,
yes,
you've got a World Cup game starting right then.
My only regret is that I don't have a small child, a baby, during the Women's World Cup, because these are peak, like, middle of the night.
Why didn't you plan
hours
for this?
Yeah, you should have.
Well, you were planning has not always been my forte.
Wow.
When it comes to family planning. So.
Wow.
Just saying.
Spot on. Accurate.
All right. Should we get into it? League's Cup?
I feel like we shouldn't continue doing what we are doing.
That's
so
fair.
Yeah, we should probably shift.
All right. Best thing we saw first match day of League's Cup, only one of us was in Fort Lauderdale at Drive Pink. That's you. Take us through it. Paint the picture, man.
I mean, it was absolutely, I mean, everything you'd want for a debut. I mean, I guess you could kind of go back to Zlatan back in the day and say, okay, it was more incredible. But the way that had to go, Messi at that moment, with his like traditional free kick in the top corner. And what I noticed, coolest thing about that entire situation was he scored, 800 goals. Never once has he been able to celebrate with his kids who were right next to the pitch, something that doesn't happen in European stadiums. He was able to do that. And I think that just kind of shows like, this is why he's here. He's able to play his game, be very happy and celebrating a goal. Go figure, gets to celebrate goals and does it with his family as well. It was just a beautiful moment that kind of just got all encapsulated with that moment at the very end.
Talk me through your day. I want you to start, like, honestly, the beginning.
What was breakfast?
What was breakfast? Yeah.
Tell me about your kids.
Cafecito, no.
As a father.
Starting in to get into my kids, they were there and they were at a hotel like down the road while
all right,
I was
all right,
doing
bye.
This.
See ya.
I'm going to go watch Messi now.
Daddy's got something to do here.
Yeah, I got to tell my son one day. He's like, yeah, you had an opportunity to go see Messi in his debut.
Everyone in the world is going to say they were there. Your son can lie and say he was. If you have any ticket or proof, just give it.
And if
just
he's under it. Three, he'll never remember if he wasn't.
He won't. And he is. Look, we were there from the day before, too, because we did a couple of days before. We did the training session. We did a show around that. And just him coming into the room where we were waiting and kind of just saying hello to everybody, that alone just kind of shows you, all right, this guy's, he's legit. Everyone always talks about, how humble he is and what he's, what he's like. He came in and said hi to every single person in the room, had no clue who I was, comes in, shakes your hand.
Did he shake your hand?
Oh, yeah.
Can sources confirm that he had no clue?
No, I'm keeping this to myself. Thanks. I'm keeping this to myself.
I'm going to get a handshake here. Secondary from the GOAT.
And then, obviously, look, we've just been, there it is. We've just been, watching Inter-Miami games for so long, the crowd, and they have a backing. Yeah, they have a fan base that's going. It was on another level. I mean, it felt important, and it was important, but it felt that just the energy being in that building was like nothing we've ever seen.
Buzz as you go in.
Buzz as I go in, a lot of tailgating. Obviously, there was a traditional South Florida thunderstorm, so that kind of threw things off just as they did on the Sunday where he was presented. But he was, but just the buzz going in was absolutely incredible. With when you got a group of Argentinian fans wearing Argentina jerseys, it looked like you were going into a World Cup game, right? Where it's just like, the absolute, the march in with everyone just kind of chanting and doing their thing, the drums going way before the game, hours before the game, in the blazing hot sun. The fact that they're that hyped, and we know about South Florida and kind of what their reputation is as far as fans are concerned. Late arriving crowd. People were there. People were there bright and early. They were chanting, screaming, going crazy. It was like nothing that I've seen in at a Major League Soccer game. And I think it's only going to get more and more as he starts going on the road as well later on in the season.
It was a cultural thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll get into the actual soccer because there's a lot to break down from what Messi did and Sergio Busquets did as well. The quality was apparent immediately. But outside of the soccer, when I was watching that, I just felt like this is a cultural moment. Mm-hmm. When LeBron James and Serena Williams and Kim Kardashian are all sort of sharing a box and they're glomming around the star power that is Messi. Like, the roles have sort of been reversed, right? Normally they're the ones with the pack, with the people, with everybody trying to get pictures or a selfie or, hey, you're the star of the show. We're interviewing you about you. What are you going to do in this NBA Finals game? Like, what is your new brand? Like, you're the greatest of all time, Serena. You did it again in a major. But to see them sort of have it flipped and be truly the fans was interesting to me. And then for Messi to always deliver, you knew, Dave, when he stood over it on that left side with the left corner there, 1-1 final kick, there's a reason everybody whips out their phones, there's a reason everybody believes in this guy as if not the greatest of all time, certainly the best of our era. He just keeps on delivering over and over and over and over.
But we hadn't seen it in this way with this team, right? And so he's taking a month off. He obviously just won a World Cup. Like, I don't think there's a question mark on his quality. I think there's a question mark on, how will this whole thing work and react?
Yeah.
And so to see it off the bat and be like, oh, okay, yeah. And you talk about the cultural moment, not everyone always comes back if you don't get the delivery right at the start. And so, this was the, we always make the joke, snowing at the first ever Winter Classic of, this was the thing you wanted and it happened. And so to have that moment, now you're going to have all those people come back and say, this was the best day ever. This was one of the best events I've ever been to. And I think just, it's one of those funny things just to watch it. They kept showing him on the bench and him engaged with the game and talking to Joseph Martinez about the game and the team. And obviously the comments about Ian Frey after and how aware he was of everything that's now going on in his new team that he's had only a couple days to be around. That was the part that made it feel real then of this isn't a one-off. He's not popping in for a game and then going to disappear.
Yeah, a handshake.
Right. This isn't Messi and friends in Chicago. Yeah, this is real. He is a part of this team. And that's where it started to feel surreal, actually, as you're watching it. And I was taking the train actually back from DC. So I was watching on my phone and you come out of the train and we ran to go watch the women's game because they were playing an hour after an hour in the middle. And we went into multiple bars and they were like, oh, sorry, we just changed the channel because we put on Messi. Random bars in New York, not exactly MLS bars, and they were like, we know Messi was playing. We knew he was on the field. Everyone was talking about it. We flipped on the TV, and then it delivered and was that moment. And so, yeah, it was special. It was awesome. It's going to be fun to watch for 2 years now.
However many years.
Awesome.
I mean, every game is a blessing. Every moment is an opportunity for him to do something special. And just a, I don't know, just a joy. Just to watch him do what he does, get on the turn, beat guys, be insanely balanced and strong for such a small statured man, and just throw people around and then be like, all right, well, I'm just going to skip away. Okay, outside the boot pass, perfectly through ball in behind. Yeah, like his teammates are going to have to adapt to him. I have to ask, though, on the train, did you yell? Yeah. Did anybody else, or is it just you?
I had my headphones in, so I didn't notice anyone else. Also, the women had just scored previous to that. My wife had that on her phone, so we were like going both, so we were yelling the whole time. I don't remember anyone else specifically yelling, but I also get in my own zone when I get there.
Where were you, Tom? Where were you when?
I was in my apartment watching, because I was writing for The Athletic from home while we had a lot of very good people at the game, at the stadium.
The Athletic.
My thought is, you talked about the presentation and that first moment when there's probably so many new people watching. I think about LeBron James, Serena Williams. Do you think that they're super locked into League's Cup now? Do you think that they're going to be at Exploria on Saturday, Santos Laguna, Orlando?
They might not even know Major League Soccer exists. They might think it's just League's Cup.
They're like, well, we saw them play this Cruz Azul team in MLS, who are maybe good in the West. We don't know.
La Máquina? I don't know if they're them.
Yeah. And so you talk about
the teammates. Talk about the bump Cruz Azul just got.
the impact of the teammates. It was funny, man. Like, the first few minutes, it was really like, every player is like trapped it in front of him, looked up, where's Messi? It wasn't like touch and dribble. It was like his first play, the overlap with Yedlin. I could not believe that two defenders went with Yedlin when he was clearly just waiting for Messi to run around him and roll him the ball. It was like, you could tell that the Miami players like, Messi's on the field, like, here, which is a phenomenal game plan. Like, let me be the first
this
to say
was,
that.
This was, Red Bulls did this with Henry.
Yeah.
You'd watch games and it would just be like, touch, pick up your head, find Henry.
Yeah.
Which can be detrimental at some point.
Oh my God, yeah.
But for the most part, it'll work out.
Yeah, but like, it was because it seemed so obvious that it wasn't like touch on the run and within the flow of the game. It was like touch, stop, look up.
Yeah, where's Messi?
And then, but then it kind of swung back the other way. There's a few times where he found a couple pockets of space where like they went, oh, right, that's right. We can just play our normal games and there's Messi over there. It's like, no. Like, you still need to be looking for him, just maybe not every single touch. So I don't know. Like, it's funny to like watch him just like, dude, he was playing with all these MLS guys that we've been following all year, whatever, like this team that's been in last place. And 2 weeks ago, you didn't have Lionel Messi as a teammate. And now, like, DeAndre Yedlin.
Was Yedlin captain that he handed the armband to Messi when he came on?
Correct. And he's, so Messi, Tata Martino confirmed today, he is going to be the captain of this team.
So it's like one of those where it's like,
did he hand it to him or did he get on one knee?
Yeah.
Hold it to the heavens.
Did he propose?
But it's like, I've watched DeAndre Yedlin play soccer since he played at Akron. And so to watch him be on the field and be like, Messi, you can be captain.
Good flex.
You're like, where am I?
Yeah. In our ears, right? Like, in our ears, honors is like Seattle Sounders homegrown,
but right, but,
academy.
But when you bring up Tigres, is one of like the first memories about Tigres not that CCL game with like Jimmy Traore's goal? DeAndre Yedlin played in that game like 11 years ago in MLS. Now he's playing on a field with Messi in League's Cup. It's just like a bizarre world that we
live. Let me throw you a crazy stat at you that I just, because I'm a nerd, I was like, I saw Robert Taylor score the opening goal and then Messi comes on and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, who scored the first goal with Messi on the field for Barcelona, for Argentina, for PSG?
For Barcelona, I'm going to guess Ronaldinho.
No.
Am I close?
Speaks Portuguese.
Deco.
Deco.
Deco scored the opening goal and Messi came on for Deco. Who scored?
Well, he wasn't on the field then.
Well, I guess he scored the opener.
Yeah,
the player that scored the opener in that match. Tom, you might know.
Maxi Liverpool, Rodriguez.
Yes. Maxi Rodriguez scored the first goal for Argentina with Messi.
Yes.
Maxi.
Messi's, in Messi's opener. Now Messi's got a red card 43 seconds in, so that was not as good for Messi. But still, there's your... And then it's Kylian Mbappe for PSG.
Why didn't you quiz us? We could have guessed that.
That was easy.
I know that guy.
Maxi was at the game as well the other night.
I saw that.
Sergio Aguero was there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the laundry list.
Yeah. I actually spoke to DeAndre Yedlin the Sunday night. So obviously the night that he was being presented to the fans and that, you know, huge rainstorm that was there as well. And DeAndre says, he's like, it didn't really become real until he popped in our group chat at 7 a.m. one morning. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is Messi texting us on a group chat. And that's where it all kind of became
and
real
the story
for him.
Goes that Leo Campana asked, hey, does anybody have tickets? And nobody really noticed it. Like Messi isn't. Messi was like, yeah, how many do you need?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Messi. Yeah. Oh, thanks, bro. Yeah.
I do like, though, that DeAndre was like, this is proof that he's like part of the team.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's his event. Yeah. I thought Campana was asking for tickets. I thought the way Yedlin
like
told the story,
intro,
it was a generic event. Like, does anyone have tickets to this concert? Like, I thought Yedlin just wasn't being specific. And they were like, Messi had the tickets. You're like, oh, well, it's for Messi's presentation. You'd hope he has tickets.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. So, but good job, Messi, being a good teammate.
All right, let's dive into the game a little bit. Big win for Miami. I mean,
well, the only thing I was going to add was you brought up LeBron and Serena Williams and the people there. And it's like, listen, what David Beckham's done is massive. David Beckham was an icon in the sport. But as a player, I think he was elevated at times into that conversation of MJ, Tiger Woods, Mia Hamm in that moment because everyone was sort of looking for a soccer person to be that. Messi is Serena Williams of soccer. He is the LeBron. Like, he is in that elite class of six people or five people, whatever conversations you want to have, where you are the greatest of all time at what you do. And so that's what's cool about this moment is, like, they came to see one of theirs. And he's there, and he's on that level. And there are other people you could debate in that class. He's not a debate one, right? He's in there. And so just to watch that whole atmosphere happen is why this is really special.
Kim K is a goat, too.
Yeah, I wasn't really going to go there.
You
could do whatever you want.
Businesswoman, media mogul, all number of things. Seller of Skims.
Cool.
Just throwing it out there.
Financially, she's definitely up there.
Yeah.
Tell me what you saw on the field from Messi in Miami. And in particular, let's bring Sergio Busquets in.
So that's actually where I wanted to go, because Tom, you're mentioning how just so many of these Inter Miami players would, you know, receive and look, where's Messi? Where's Messi? Somebody who didn't have to do that was Busquets. He got so many times where he received and he didn't even need to look where Messi was, and he'd shoot that pass straight, whether it was a through ball, whether it was right to his feet, two or three times at least. It was almost like it was playing again in Barcelona. It was that, like, you know, that connection that they had back then. Seeing it again, and I think that that's where you're going to see more of these Inter Miami players be able to have that luxury the more time that they get with him. Obviously, maybe not to the level that Busquets did it, but I think that was huge because that'll provide that connection from midfield to Messi, where he wants to receive the ball to then do his magic. So I thought that was key for them.
I thought it was pretty incredible how much space and time Sergio Busquets had against Cruz Azul. And I don't know if that was just would seem to me, and I'm not a professional soccer player, but if I see Sergio Busquets come on the field and Messi's there too, I'm like, well, I probably should keep Sergio Busquets from being able to receive and face.
It's making it hard.
Yeah. I think what you saw, though, was it was two teams for Miami. And so I think Cruz Azul struggled to react to, like, we're possessing the ball, we're dominating the game, to they're possessing the ball. And so I think they didn't close down in a way in which it wasn't the way the game was flowing. Those two changes happened. Now instantly they can't get the ball off their foot. And so that was sort of the shift. And that's the shift we're going to see, which is, like, Miami's not a high possession team that dominates games in MLS. They have now become that.
Now they are.
And they need to. It's one of the convos that's happened with, like, obviously you understand why Busquets is coming in. He's close with Messi. This is a unique challenge he's taking on. He wants to be around him. He is one of the greats of all time at what he does, but he has only played in one system. MLS doesn't really seem to fit that. So if you're Miami, you need to have the ball. Because if the game is transitional and being chased, Busquets loses his value to your team. This was a good first example of, like, Miami, at least against Cruz Azul, who are not right now of the level that Inter Miami wants to say they'll be at. But at least in this game, and I think Atlanta will be really interesting as well, because Atlanta's another team who has not been able to put their foot on the ball and dominate the way they think they can. At least in this game, they showed they could. And that's the key, is, like, you need to be able to play in possession. You need to be able to one that dictates the game so that Messi doesn't have to press and that you don't have to go and find the ball. And once you do that, these guys are clearly good enough to tear things apart.
Yeah. And for me, like, looking at what does this mean going forward for this team? And again, this was Tata Martino's second game as manager. So every decision is going to be kind of granularly analyzed, and it's going to be, where did Messi come in on the field? Like, he was, you know, nominally the right winger in a 4-3-3, but we all know he's going to be playing free. He's going to go do whatever you want. But I was thinking about the rotations and where things, when he drifted inside, it's Yedlin that's taking up the space. And if they lost the ball when Yedlin was forward, it's Dixon Arroyo kind of sliding out, or maybe Sergio Busquets kind of to that flank. So I'm very curious.
Dixon got a talking to at some point. He messed something up.
Oh, yeah.
And Busquets was like, come here.
Come here.
But, and you're so, like, ah, man.
Where I'm looking to for this team, like, Gregory's going to be back, I believe, in August. He's ahead of schedule from what I've heard. I don't know exactly a date, but whatever. He's on the League's Cup roster, which was a surprise to many people, and it aligned with what I was being told, that he's ahead of the original timeline, which is awesome. So thinking about this team at full strength, and it's Busquets kind of anchoring, and then when you can have Gregory on one side and Dixon Arroyo or whoever else is the other one. So two.
Don't disrespect David Ruiz.
David Ruiz. And yep, that's and those two players who are going to cover a lot of ground, win a lot of duels. This could work really well. And if Facundo Farias comes in, he's probably left wing. Steph, you know his game better than I do.
Yeah.
Left winger probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's going to play more on that left wing. I mean, you also have to mention that Malta's training again too. Oh, so
that's
he
right.
Could be back as well. So there's.
But so he's behind Gregory. Right. I know that. But so that's a good point. Their strongest 11 with Busquets, Gregory, and Malta. That's a really strong midfield.
Yeah.
And then particularly with Malta and Gregory being able to cover ground when Messi goes inside and Yedlin has to get forward. Like, it works really well. This was a team that we were talking all season, like, all of the holes, all of these problems, all these issues. Oh, even when Messi comes, what's it going to look like? And we saw it for 35 minutes, and we're thinking about these players that are coming in and coming back. It's like, oh, wow, this makes a lot of sense.
It is dependent on them coming back. Because I do think we, in fairness, said the build made sense, but you lost your two center mids. Like, again, Kamal Miller, international center back, Christoph, international center back, Yedlin, Calendar, all of that made sense. Finishers up top. If they don't have Gregory or Mota, even if they only have Mota, because I don't actually think Mota helps that much in this.
Gregory's not, more important.
Yeah, he doesn't cover ground. He's more of a facilitator of possession. If they don't have Gregory, there are still holes.
Oh, for sure.
Midfield, but.
But I don't know. Like, we were on the show again when like the after Messi signaled his intent to come and before he signed, like those were a few long weeks on the field for Miami. They were very, very bad, and we were all like, "Wow, like what? How does this fix? Like, it's tough. He's the greatest player of all time, and Busquets is still really good too. But like, there's so many holes, there's so many problems. And then for 35 minutes, it's like, oh, this is probably gonna work. It'll be okay.
When you look at an MLS roster and the way the salary cap works and the way things work, like even when you look at Reynoso come back, who we'll talk about, even when you talk about like Bryce Duke coming into Montreal, it's like you can't really miss. You can't really have holes. Miami has played a whole year with like, it ended up being three holes. Four if you add Pizarro, which is like, that's where we get into this ridiculous thing of like, yeah, they're second worst or worst in the league because they're playing with one hand behind their back. You bring Messi and you bring Busquets in, potentially Chilean center forward Luis Suarez.
Grêmio's president said everything to do with that is silly and sad.
Yeah.
So he's frustrated by
everything.
Yeah, no, everything. Every single thing.
I like that.
He's mad. He is mad though, because the rumors are like Suarez is like, I will pay you 6 months of salary. I'm out of here. After he floated the knee injury thing a while back, where he's like, I don't think I can play anymore.
He realized that wasn't going to work.
Let me try getting out of his contract.
I might have to retire to South Florida
In case somebody is angry listening to this, David Goss knows that Luis Suarez is Uruguayan and not Chilean.
He is?
I try to help you.
Listen.
Just a bit.
I'm a New Yorker, so I only read the highest level.
He's a man of culture.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a man of culture.
Someone draw me a cartoon about this, and I will read it.
Exactly. There you go. Diego Gomez, another signing, Paraguayan.
So that one's
Tata
done.
Rolled in, is like, hey, I'm going to need, here's the guys I need, all right?
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. Go get them.
And the roster explanation there is that's why Leo Campana is the third DP. He's a young DP. Diego Gomez is a U22 initiative signing. Farias, if he comes in, it will be a U22 initiative signing. Jorge Mas said that the terms were agreed to. Nothing is done there. They did just trade for an international slot, though. So the assumption is that's who another U22 signing is going to be. And then they've had a bid for Argentine center back, Aviles.
Yes.
From Racing Club?
Racing. Yep.
And there's some Atletico Madrid.
Tom was really prepared for this.
Yeah. Got it.
But like, so that's how they're able to have three U22 initiative players. And those are these three signings.
So they haven't had any on the roster before.
They've had one, Rodriguez.
Oh, right.
Who is on loan right now. So they're open up. Regardless, that's how those three players can fit into the roster and under the cap.
We haven't even mentioned Jordi Alba.
Yeah.
Who's on his way as well. True. So that's another, you know, another
man. Noah Allen
friend.
Still battling uphill.
Still tough for Allen.
Yeah. Great performance from Noah Allen, by the way, off the bench because of Ian Frey's injury, which sucked. But yeah, Jordi Alba will be good at soccer as well with these players.
Good takeoff.
Just to finish the Ian Frey conversation, because I know you mentioned it, Stefano, but I can't believe that Lionel Messi, in his first match after scoring that goal, after having that moment, after paying off these months and years, really, of decision making, of weighing his future, decides to call out Ian Frey. Like, I know it's the right thing to do. It's like a beautiful thing to do. And when Messi does it, you're sort of like, oh, I'm both surprised but not surprised. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those things where it's like, yes, he's in there, man. He's locked in. And not just like the big picture thing swirling around, but the minutiae surrounding him.
And even like, he knew about his story. Like, he knew, he's like, you know, he said it in the post-game interview with Antonella, our reporter down there. He said, he's like, you know, yeah, obviously we pray for Ian, who, you know, who's had to deal with this a few times before. So it's not like just like, oh, he got injured. No, like, he actually already knew his story. I mean, yeah. He's been around. I mean, that's cool. I mean, yeah, cool. You could talk about, okay, yeah, we're, you know, we're Messi supporters. We're, you know, I'm always going to back him.
Honestly. Only one of us. I'm wearing a Colorado Rapids jersey.
I guess, but fine. We could say that all we want, but that's cool. When you get truly the goat of this sport, the goat of this sport, knowing those things in his first week on the job here, it's pretty cool.
It's one of the interesting things about this experience for Messi, which is like, how do I word this correctly? There are people in Messi's sphere who are obviously passionate about the sport they play, but have focused on other things at times. Right. Messi's never been that person. And so you go to a moment where you're like, this is the thing. He said it at the presentation last week. He's like, I can't wait to train.
Right.
Like, he, as big a deal as he is because of his stature, he has not really played that up through his career. He has always focused on the sport, where other people maybe in that realm have focused on other things and the sport.
No question.
And so I think that was one of those moments where you're like, Messi's here to play. He's going to be here to play. And it was the same with Beckham and Schweinsteiger and all these guys, right? Where it's like Zlatan, once they came in, Zlatan's watching tape and being like, Tyler Miller likes to play off his line, which ruined Tyler Miller at this point. I never even thought of that until just
Kevin,
now.
Kevin, protect the space behind you. Right, okay? Right. Protect the space, Kevin.
And like,
although his Efra Alvarez takes are getting a little
tough.
We pray that those pay off.
Yeah. But like, you remember when we did stuff with Schweinsteiger at All-Star and when he was on Chicago and he was like, this is where we think we can go. And he's talking about other MLS teams. You're like, if that's what they're passionate about and they take it seriously, then that's one of the really cool parts about this, is like, this is now a whole world that Messi's going to dive into. And, you know, he comes on for Kramaski. Like, that's a whole nother thing.
Binha?
Oof. Amazing. Don't even get me started.
Poetry. Buzzing. Argentine. U20 International.
Yeah.
Benjamin Kramaski.
And now Argentine
the torch.
Full international.
Yeah, passing the torch. Messi, to Leo. Yeah. Should Messi start against Atlanta? Will he start against Atlanta on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern? I know you know, MLS season pass, Apple TV, full hour pregame show.
I really
in Fort
wish
Lauderdale.
Tom Bogert, legend, Franco Ibarra was still there, so it would be a Santi Sosa, Franco Ibarra midfield for Messi to play again, because he'd only have to play 25 minutes then. Whether it's off the bench or from the start, would matter. He would tear that midfield.
What, Sidic or what?
Tata.
Like, yeah. Well, Mar's working.
Yeah.
Tata already indicated that he's likely to start, and Busquets as well.
How did he indicate that?
He said it at a press conference today.
I was just wondering, like, smoke from a chimney. It's like, if it's black smoke, he's not starting, you know, like a pope or what? Just check it out.
Said it at a press conference.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that makes more sense. Fabrizio Romano tweeted it out. Following it up.
That's super. I mean,
almost.
You know what? Tom said it. I'm not questioning it. But if Fabrizio says it, that is absolute gospel.
Is that good friends, pals?
Is that the right move to start him this early?
I mean, yeah. Because, I mean, even if you only want to play him 60 minutes, you play him off the bat. I just feel like.
Yeah, he played.
He showed that he played 35 minutes and he showed that he was just fine. Maybe not to play 90, but if you're going to play him 60 minutes,
you
got to start
him. Are you sure he earned his starting spot last game? That's kind of what I'm worried about. Was this too much, too fast? You got to bring down his ego, right? Like,
no, don't bring down
his ego. What about Robbie Robinson?
Hey, poor Robbie Robinson.
Chilean International.
Oh my gosh.
Are you talking to
Domino?
Robbie Robinson had quite the moment in that match.
When he threw up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that seemed tough.
Oh, I was between the yak or the beautiful diagonal ball to Taylor.
Everyone's remembering. Yeah. We'll remember the other one.
I would just say it's slightly short rest Friday to Tuesday, but with the way the tournament's set up for Inter Miami, they then have a massive rest. Even most likely they're going to go through with the way the groups are, with three teams and already winning. So, like, you have a lot of time after that. So I think you want to play him at least 45 minutes. You do it from the start just because that way it gives you the window where if he feels good and wants to play another 10, 15 minutes, you can keep him
in. I could not imagine a scenario in which he comes out at halftime. I cannot imagine.
He also, he absolutely hates to come out of any game. Yeah. But you're right about the fact that, like, if you want to kind of try to solidify that, right? Because if
if you could kind of move the game to the point where, all right, we have maybe a point in the bag, a draw in the bag, that's it. That's all they need to kind of to go through.
No draws.
So can
Well, you know what? They get the point before the
pick. Well, listen,
in regulation, right. You know, 2 points for a penalty shootout win, one World point
Cup.
For a loss.
In this World Cup style tournament, correct. There are no
Can draws. I just throw it out there? As, you know, the folks that listen to the show know that, well, just know us. Potentially Derek Etienne and Caleb Wiley on that left wing to defend and match up against Lionel Messi.
Yeah, Messi's not really going to play on the wing. I don't really.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But, you know, just if you're looking across to, at the kickoff, at least.
I mean, come inside. I would assume Messi's watching tape on Brooks London movement right now and be like, how do we slow him down?
Yeah, does Ozzie Alonso get a piece here?
Oh, God, if Ozzie plays in this one.
At this point.
throwing out storylines. Tata against Gonzalo Pineda.
Well, I assume for Atlanta that, well, we actually still don't really understand. Their new D mid.
Oyumba?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got his visa, right?
We'll probably start in this one. So it helps solidify things. Miles Robinson's back, which will be massive for them as well. These are two teams now that have leaked goals and have arguably the two best attacking players in the league on the field. Like, this is going to be exactly what you want right now, which is just pure entertainment.
And Tyler Wolf, Messi. Yep.
Yeah,
Tyler Wolf, obviously.
Big matchup there.
Levy's going to break his brain over the course of the next year.
Thiago Almada, Messi. I mean, that's amazing.
Joseph versus Atlanta.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Tata back.
With Joseph, too. Joseph, there's probably nobody happier than Joseph Martinez on Inter Miami now to have a guy like Messi. So he didn't score in this last one. He did score, and they were offside. But I don't think anyone's happier than Joseph playing against his former team now, doing it with Tata on his bench and having a guy named Messi on the pitch to just kind of serve up a couple of opportunities for him.
I'm trying to think of what celebrations or lack thereof he would have planned if he scores against Atlanta in Atlanta. Celebrate. Does he know where the front office members' boxes are? Like, is it going to be like a death stare up there? Like, what's going to go on here? I'm very curious.
He definitely got quickly into the, like, he's going to walk around with Messi and Busquets and be like, us.
Yeah, yeah, smart
like,
guy.
There's cool guys. Big That's Joseph smart. Energy yeah, cool of like, who, us?
Yeah, that's how I got on the show, actually. I just kept falling around Goya Weeby and Goss, and then all of a sudden I was
Who, us? Chair. The ETR hosts? Yeah, yeah, we'll come. We'll honors will
Tums
be there
with
in
us. Tums with us. Don't worry about it.
You can't buy him out.
Yeah.
It's funny. I spoke to Joseph as well during that whole thing, and he actually said, too, which I thought was kind of funny, but also I get it. He was basically said, he's like, yeah, you know, Messi's here and we're all happy, but, you know, I'm really happy to take Messi under my wing to show him the MLS ropes. Yeah. He legit said, just like that.
He believes that 1,000%.
No question. And then that training session, who does he walk out with Leo? And he's talking, just chatting away. He's like, this is how we play against Atlanta United.
And here, I'll show the new guy around. Hello, everybody. This is Lino. This is our friend. He's our new teammate.
And yeah, then, so here's where the coffee machine is. And yeah, there's one bathroom here. We all use that one for you know what.
Someone came into the locker room after that and they said, hey, Joseph, do you want to move to Luton Town, England? It's just east of Stevenage, northwest of London. And Joseph's like, can you leave me alone? I don't know this guy. He turns to Leo. He's like, I don't even know this guy.
I have a contract.
Yeah.
I'm get committed. Out of here. Yeah, get out of here. All right. We've done our contractually obligated half hour on Messi off the top. Let's switch it up. Best thing you saw, Tom.
Yep. You know, Messi.
Non-Messi. Yeah, non-Messi.
For me, it was the Chicho Arango goal for RSL in their 3-0 win over Seattle. I thought it was a really good goal, but what made it the best thing I saw this week is, again, like, we spent a lot of time on the show talking about it. I was, like, really big on the signing. This is awesome. Way to go for RSL. This is, you know, great player. They don't always go exactly to plan. Like, his debut, he scores, goes to the League's Cup. He you know, receives, like, a hopeful ball over the top, and he still has to beat a one-on-one going into the box, and he fires it near post-ish. Whatever. This is a $6 million goal. This is a $6 million forward scoring goal. Like, this is exactly what they paid for. This is what Real Salt Lake has lacked for the last few years, and it's just really great to see immediate dividends on, okay, like, let's make this investment. Let's identify the star striker that we want to sign, and then bang, within a month, it's like, yep, no, this was worth it.
He put poor Jackson Reagan in the beaker. He just heated it up, like, cooked him. Yeah. I did like the stepovers because I'm used to a stepover being a little closer to the body. Did you notice how far away it was? Like the the leg lunge was like,
that looks
so
like a Krylock one with Krylock's long legs.
Oh my god! Like what are we doing here? But a perfect finish. But Arcel dominant
and dominant and one more on Arango is that we think of him at LAFC as like the goal scorer, but we think of
poacher.
Yeah, more like that goal in and of itself. It's like, oh wow, like not that I was like shocked that he could do that, but it's like, oh yeah, you can do all of these things, and you can score a header on a free kick that you stole. For, like Krylock was about to head it in for his debut goal, and it was like he's just a goal scorer, man. And like this is exactly what they paid for.
So form, 8 goals, 3 draws, I believe, in last 11 all comps for RSL. They're flying. They're rising up the Western Conference table. It looks like they are in position to advance out of a group with Seattle and Monterrey, which is pretty impressive. And League's Cup, probably the hardest group. Seattle, meanwhile, they're faltering.
There's debate around that, but continue. But we did a long debate about that last
time. The best. What would you say the best group was? This is the best.
I think it's the Columbus-St. Louis-America group.
Even with St. Louis as injured as they are?
Yeah, St. Louis like didn't bring Berkey, didn't bring Parker.
It's the number one team in the Western Conference.
Okay.
Well, I haven't been impressed by Seattle in a while. No, so if Seattle doesn't show up, how can this be the best
drag
group? There's only two good
teams. Let's go, drag them.
Yeah. I mean, they got smoked 3-0 against RSL. But that is an unfair way to do this because it can't be based on the results of the group, which is the better
group.
But
no, but they had poor results before that.
Yeah.
Something's off.
They've been bad for a little.
But we could say RSL, it doesn't matter where St. Louis is in the table, RSL right now is the most impressive team in that conference for sure. I don't think there's any team right now in this current moment in form that's been better or more exciting to watch than RSL.
Well, St. Louis finished out League's Cup before League's Cup break with a win against Miami, which I don't know if you've heard the last 30 minutes of the show, but that might be the best team in the league.
Yeah, but
there was a guy missing. There was a couple of guys missing Miami.
Honestly, we should just scrub all the results.
Joseph and his boys were there.
It's all everybody's on 0 points nowadays.
Yeah,
Messi's here. It's just a reset. Hard reset.
Fair.
Yeah.
No, this is one of the toughest groups. That was a huge result for RSL. And I think you look at this and it's like, I think RSL has eyes for MLS Cup. They could probably contend for Supporters Shield, but that's another conversation. But you're in form. So you have a tournament that lands on your doorstep where you can host games where you're one of the best home field advantage teams. Like, take advantage right now. And so I think you saw this was the right start of RSL are going to go for it. And obviously Pablo's not taking games off and whatever, but it's what you wanted to see, which is we sort of put together a list over the last few weeks of like, oh, this could be a really good tournament for this team or this team. And it's like, if you are RSL and you're winning everything anyway, you might as well do it in a situation now where you can lift a trophy at the end and put yourself like into a conversation where there's a lot of fans. I went to the old League's Cup against Tigres in Rio Tinto at the time.
Was that the cat game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other stuff happened too.
Yeah.
But that was the cat game. And there's a ton of Tigres fans at that game. And there have been Chivas fans that come to say, like, so now you get a chance to put Chicho Arango on display and your team on display with those fans in the building and say, like, come back, be a part of this, because this is what we're building.
All right, stick to your best group. What's the best thing you saw, Dave?
Shout out to the Columbus and St. Louis fans for sticking through. At home, I went to sleep. I woke up and watched it the next day, this morning, but I was not going to stay awake for it. Ended up finishing at 1:30. AM local time. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it was about that. So. They started out like 11:15.
So it was a 4-hour weather delay on a Sunday night.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And there was fans in the stadium after this. The supporter section was actually pretty full.
I mean, they believe in League's Cup.
They do believe in League's Cup. And they got a show for it. Celarayan, he's not on our list of like the Argentine tens that performed this week because other people were absurd. But he's back into the MVP conversation that he was in as MVP as when he won it, when they won Cup. Cucho scores the penalty and sort of does a like, kind of felt like Landon at Confed Cup where he's like, me, right? He's got like 11 assists this year. Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm a goal scorer. I think their fans know whenever they watch that team play, they're going to get a Wilfred Nancy team and it's worth watching. And that wasn't the case for them over the last few years. So I just thought that was really cool. It's a team that's in good form. It was a massive result. Because, again, you've got America. Now St. Louis has to go home. They have to beat Club America at home, which is going to be a ridiculous atmosphere this week. And so, like, you put the pressure on the rest of the group there, and this was, like, the big game to sort of define it. And so it was a massive weekend, and I just thought those fans got – I guess the St. Louis fans didn't get the reward for it at the end. But, like, shout out from me for, like, being great fans.
You get your coaching badge. Do you keep a man on the post on free kick situations, or do you play the chicken game that Celio Pompeo played and then get paid for against Celarayan? Do you think it would matter? Do you think if he stayed on the post, he's not shooting there. He has to at least change his.
Oh, interesting. I thought he'd just shoot through him.
You think so? I mean, if he's standing there, he just kicks it away.
He'd probably try. Well,
when he goes back there, then the attackers all go stand there.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem. Is you keep everyone on if you leave him on the post.
Right.
So that's why you have to do, if you're going to try to do it, you do it at the last second. So all the other.
Well, that's why it didn't make sense. He started early, then he ran up, and then he was off. Like, well, where am I going? I'm not in the wall. And Zoran's like, cool, he's not there. Nobody's in the wall. It's not all the way over. Okay, I'm just going to bang it.
Yeah.
Near post. Yeah.
Clemson, I would have nine guys lay down in a line and only have two people stand in a
the matchstick.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. Okay. So, America Columbus is going down on, America St. Louis, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. So, that's a big one coming up. And we'll talk more about RSL Monterey in just a second. As for me, best thing I saw, and also, honestly, the worst thing I saw, 38 penalty kicks in a shootout between the Whitecaps and Club León. It just would not stop. It just, my God, end it, I thought. At first, it's cool.
Danny felt the same.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is historic. Like, these are great penalties. Goalkeepers are shooting. Yay. But that was at 22 and 23. Like, we just kept going. We almost got back to the goalkeepers. And poor Luis Martins, he missed both to lose it for the Caps. Yeah, he missed two penalties in a single.
And he hit the post in run of play.
Yeah. Rough.
That's why he's a defender.
That was cringeworthy. It was actually it got to the point where you kind of felt bad. Yeah. It's like, oh man, just somebody just
let them go home.
Please just let these guys go home.
Something so, call it, something give them both so the extra cool point. And different and interesting that it's awful, basically, at the end of it.
Simon Betcher put it in both corners.
Betcher, I mean,
he's like, we're doing PKs.
Right.
Like top
Benny,
level.
I can do this.
Yeah. Well, the problem is it's like the only position now they have players in. It's not only position. But like they didn't start White. They started Cordova. Then they brought White off the bench at halftime. He helps create goals. Now Betcher's coming off the bench as well. It's like not if I was another team looking for a center forward, I would probably reach out to Vancouver, although they may not be open anymore because they've already given up big players.
Right.
I'm going to go secondary. Best thing I saw to John Tolkien, who went full juvenile twerk. He backed it up. After scoring his penalty in the shootout.
Oh,
and I just, like, if there was one person I was going to guess that would do that, it would be John Tolkien.
So can I say that, like, so again, he scores the game-winning penalty.
Tom's going to defend New Jersey.
No, and this doesn't sound like slander. This sounds like
That's Wildwood behavior.
My thought is that this has to be premeditated, right? So he's walking up in a pressure-filled situation. If I score this PK, we win. And I'm like, all right, am I going to twerk? What do I do? Do I do the fake hamstring injury into the twerk? All right, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Okay, put the ball down, and yeah, we're all set. Like, is that that's what's going through his mind when he's walking up to take a game-winning PK? I wish I had that confidence. Just well done.
All right, so Leagues Cup, match day one. We got Lionel Messi game winner, celebrities in the building, MLS with a 3-2-2 record against Liga MX. No, I'm not changing it based on the result in the penalty shootouts. We're going straight on regulation, and John Tolkien twerking. So it all went to plan. Everything's good to go. It can only go up from here. What was the best result, though, of the first three match days? Dave, get us started. Best result.
I was hoping you weren't going to start with me because I don't know what I
wrote
down.
I could see you scrolling Twitter, and I was like, I'm about to just throw it at Dave just to see what happens.
Dad vibes. This is such dad vibes.
I just, you know, I was just checking to see what all the teams associated to Leagues Cup have been tweeting about the first match
weekend. Yeah, it's probably teacher vibes where you like see the kid in the back, like, you know, kind of messing around. You're like, oh, so Dave.
Oh, you better believe I was a kid who was like, you think you're going to blow me up? I don't care. I would say since he's come back against SKC, you had undefeated run all year at home. You somehow had a team that's been dominant in the league that was up a man, conceded a goal to go back down, and then had to come back. But I think the biggest is just we look at these teams and you look at the way the group set up. It's like if you start behind the eight ball, you're in a tough spot with Chivas coming in. And so it just felt like the moment they scored that goal, now they're back in the driver's seat. They end up winning the shootout. So they went from 0 points to 2 points and ahead of SKC, who now don't have Alan Pulido for the rest of the group stage and are probably the ones who are going to try and be fighting to get back in it. So it felt like a big result for Cincy, for Brandon Vasquez to come back and score a goal. Felt big.
Bupenza got his first start, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought Miazga stepped back in and was good again, although probably wish they didn't concede three goals. So this felt like a big one for Cincinnati. I wouldn't say it was the biggest, but I'm glad you started with me because I look like an idiot.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Alan Pulido, that is killer for all of us that were just, you know, for the sickos, the neutral sickos out there that just wanted to enjoy Pulido against his former club. I don't think it was a malicious, I'm going to headbutt you.
You think he was trying to get up?
I think he got pushed, and I think he was mad, and he like a little bit off balance on the ground, and like trying to get up quickly, and probably get up quickly and like, you know, face to face sort of thing, but not like I am going to just, you know, missile my head into your head sort of situation. That's but he once he did it, it
missile
was
my head into your head.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Yes, that's poetry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Next game in this one is going to go down on Thursday, Chivas, Cincinnati. That's one of the best games of the group stage for sure. 8 p.m. Eastern time. Good stuff there. I'm going to go Hani changing the game immediately for Nashville. And it's both the result against Colorado, which I don't think that's unsurprising for Nashville at home in any way. It's more that we just haven't seen this Hani for a while. Been seven games, more than a month without a goal for him. That's completely out of character. Certainly for this year, but I would argue every single year except for maybe the first year in MLS.
Just the first half of the first year too, because that's been kind of folded in the revisionist history.
So for him to get a goal and then set up a goal immediately afterwards in Nashville, like look around and be like, oh yeah, we've kind of been scuffling without this Hani, but maybe this Hani is back, and we'll learn more about their designated player spot in just a little bit. Thought that was a big result, not just in the points category, but also emotionally for Nashville.
So to be clear, in a World Cup style group stage tournament, where every game matters, you picked Nashville beating Colorado at home as your most.
Well, I just want you know what, Dave.
The first weekend,
we're in the back of the class together, bro.
Okay, okay.
We're in the back row.
You were definitely a nerd. What are you talking about?
He went from teacher to now being in the back of the class.
We found out real quickly. Cool guys.
I was reading books under my desk. I was so bored.
Cool guys.
I was like, oh, no,
I know all this already. This isn't challenging to me.
Yeah, exactly. Oof. I will take you an accelerated reader.
I assume
anyone out
you
there.
Have a list for every other game.
You didn't put up 350 points a year in accelerated reader. You're nobody.
I don't know what that means because I'm not.
I was too busy playing sports, bro. Yeah. Those are the points where I was at.
Yeah, so we're nobodies. Apparently, everybody else on this set.
Congratulations,
I didn't say it.
Listen, KU Journalism School. It's where you learn the difference between UVA and UNC.
KU? And KU.
All the MLS.
Is that what you guys do? Is KU University rep as KU?
No, well, I heard KU and I was like, oh, wait, that's us. Yeah.
So you do that.
And they got sued by Kansas for that. I don't know. There's something where
they're about to.
If that happened, I'm going to find it out and I'm going to be using it on you all the time. All the
because
time.
Because your big school sued my small school, maybe?
Yeah, impersonators.
Cam's going to Keene University.
We got to get out of New Jersey immediately. Stefano, what do you got? What's the best result for you?
I thought it was just kind of the most surprising result. Mazatlan beating Austin in Austin 3-1. All right, we could talk. Austin didn't have Drewsy, no Rigoni. But I think that they felt pretty confident going in against Mazatlan, a team that had two wins all of last season in Liga MX in the Clausura. So I really think that's obviously the biggest one. It's shocking for Austin playing at home in front of their fans. I think that they still felt pretty confident being able to get a win against a Mazatlan team. They came in just like, hey, let's go play. And they just got run out of Q2 Stadium. And now they're obviously backs against the wall, maybe not qualifying in the next round.
In fairness, that Mazatlan team last season didn't have Luis Amaria.
I was going to say that the ghost of MLS past, Josue Coleman and Luis
Josue
Amaria
as well. Yeah.
Josue scored. Amaria assist.
He had not scored Josue Coleman for Mazatlan in like, I think like 35, 40.
And games. Ake Lobo is on the bench. I cannot believe he didn't come on and score.
Unbelievable.
He's healthy? I thought he got hurt.
I thought he was still hurt too, and then I just checked the bench. He was there.
Up front in the vein of Violette, just teams in purple.
Yeah.
Trouble on the continent for Austin.
I mean, if Austin goes out as one of the teams that's going to host both the games, if they don't get through the group stage.
FC Juarez is the other team. Mazatlan and Juarez play, I want to say, Tuesday, maybe? Yes. Yeah, Tuesday.
I believe it's Tuesday.
Yeah. So Austin, the third game, will know exactly what they need to do in a home game at Q2, as good an atmosphere as there is, just to get through.
So no excuses, really. And you would think they probably were confident in this group, saying, yeah, we got this. We can get out of
Joshua said their aim was to win the group.
Well,
which is what he should have said, by the way.
It feels like in each international competition, the overconfidence tends to be the issue. Which is what happened with Violette, which is like, oh, we'll get through. We'll play a rotated team on the road, and then we'll just get through at home. And that clearly did not work. So they learned their lessons and didn't do that again.
Oh, by the way, for Juarez, this game on Tuesday, Bofo Salcedo.
Yep.
is with Juarez. Scored a goal.
Not Carlos.
Apertura. Yeah.
He was on Juarez. He's not anymore.
Cruz Azul.
He was too busy co-fouling Messi for the free kick. He went on Twitter after put it sideways. Yeah. The video
sideways
is so
video.
Great.
I love it.
It's like the Stephen A. Smith tweet of like, take a look at this image, y'all. IMG
on
underscore.
X.
On X.
Yeah.
Tom, biggest result, and I think you just did RSL again.
Yeah, so I'm not going
to. Just play it forward. Just Monterey RSL. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to seeing if RSL can win this group. Again, just getting through is obviously the most important, but that's like a litmus test. If they come away with two games against Seattle and Monterrey, either win both or get through atop the group, like that's huge.
Just an FYI for people who are trying to figure out what happens after the group stage, how things are seeded, who hosts. Obviously, all these matches are being played in the U.S. And some in Canada, obviously. I'm kicking myself here. I'm being graded. I should have never said anything about being the teacher of this class.
Yeah.
What is the capital of Canada?
Ottawa.
Took too long.
But I was there. You heard me say, and I wanted to say Ottawa, but I was doing the mental check.
Yeah.
Just telling
you. Cool.
All right. We didn't talk really about Tijuana, Philly. We didn't talk about Minnesota at all here. Emmanuel Reynoso, maybe the best Argentine 10 in the competition so far.
He definitely might have had the best Argentine free kick that we've seen in this tournament.
Rosario turns around and the World Cup winning jersey actually said Reynoso on the back the whole time. It's a magic
trick. That would be a good bit. That would be a great bit.
Might have to do that.
Reynoso just balling.
I mean, I literally tweeted that last night. He is such a baller. I mean, you saw he literally took over that game by himself and dominated a squad that had one more man, because remember Minnesota got a red card early in the game, so it was kind of wild to see just how much impact he was able to have on that game. Two goals, two assists as well. I think I'm correct with the two assists as well.
I think it was one.
Was it one? Or whatever.
Oh, it doesn't. Just take the assist away from him. Mr. You know, very pedantic.
I have
here.
A stat coming up when he's done. That's why I have it ready.
To be fair to that, the free kick was amazing. Also, the goalie was, I don't know what he was doing. He was completely just not in the right spot at all. But he saw that and nails it top bins. The guy can dominate any game. And I think that the more he continues to play, you're going to see Minnesota just get better and better and better.
That he's got in six starts since he came back, six goals, two assists, and they've lost only one of those games. It's unreal.
I was looking up the Carlos Heel chance creation numbers. We were doing the preview for the Revs game, and I was like, hold on, is he the best in the league? And he is if you have a certain minute threshold, but if you take that minute threshold off, Reynoso is creating like 2.5 more chances per game than Carlos Heel, and it's just in a complete league of his own. We have to ask questions about anybody on this table that might have said that Minnesota should move on.
Yeah, ask those questions.
Reynoso.
I think that's fine. It took them, 18 months to sign him?
Yep.
And there's a reason they stayed committed to it. If something happens again, which isn't outside the realm of possibility, I don't wish it on anyone, but this is, he disappeared for 6 months.
You stay in the marriage for the kids, Dave.
I'm not even going to venture down any of this road. What I will say about this, I will continue on by ignoring you. One, I mean, he was unplayable in a way you talked about, like what he can do, where with great players, you kind of have the decision of like, do we play off and try and stop everything? Or do we play really tight to try and deny possession? Puebla played off him because they couldn't get near him. And like, that's when you know you've broken a team. And this is sort of one of the fascinating things to me about Leagues Cup, which is we've seen MLS teams play Liga MX teams forever. We've only seen it at the top of like, you won last year, you're playing last tournament's champion. This is now where we start to say, like, what does the middle of the leagues look like against each other? And this was an example, I think, of like a Puebla team that is in bad form and not one of the strongest versus a Minnesota team that's been in bad form over the course of the year and had a lot of question marks coming into this, and Pookie just got there. And so I think this is the part that's more fascinating to me than like St. Louis America, where it's like, we kind of know how all of that evens up, right? We know the best 11s are pretty even. DPs are probably better than anyone on most Liga MX rosters. And then you get into depth. Like, we've had those conversations.
Yeah, but should we use St. Louis America in that example?
Why?
I mean,
because Club America hasn't won a tournament in 5 years?
Look at those rosters.
Are you saying because Club America has been poor?
No, I'm saying because Club America's roster is absurd compared to St. Louis.
I haven't won a tournament in 5 years. Fired their coach once again, so I don't know.
We should ask. Rich Hernandez about this. Yeah, that's the producer Vincent. I think he would have a take.
I think like Montreal Pumas is like a fun one. Yeah, or like San Luis against Red Bulls. Right.
Even Tijuana Philly for like the top of MLS versus more of mid tier. Yeah. Like all these different sort of measuring sticks.
But like the Leagues Cup Showcase, it was still the biggest names in League MX coming and playing against MLS teams. Where now you're starting to see what does the rest of the league look like. And I think that's really fascinating to sort of figure out where everything stands and like how the two leagues are connected.
Bummer from Montreal, by the way.
Yeah.
Gave that one away. Mm-hmm. That was tough.
But you get the 2 points. Like you're still in the driver's seat. They play DC at home. They're probably fine. It did feel for 80 minutes like it worked. Like Losada has his players now. Bryce Duke playing with high energy, Opoku off of 0-4 or Toy. It doesn't really matter. Like it felt like it all sort of fit together for them, which is exciting. But then you give it a
if it's fit better than we've seen from Montreal. Mm-hmm. They still need more goals from their nines for whether it's Mason Toy or whether it's 0-4. I've called a lot of their games. Bryce Duke has really made a huge, just absurd the difference that he's made in that team playing as a 10. Before we get off of Minnesota, do we have time for a quick Adrian Heath Reynoso story?
Do we ever?
you're in the Caitlin Kyle seat. You got it.
Actually, it works out, right? I was in the bubble. This is during the pandemic. So we talked about how long, you know, they were chasing Reynoso. So this is, what is this, middle of 2020?
Yeah.
I'm in the bubble. I was there for the
ESPN. Is this when you were doing the live shot in the pool?
No, that we're not going
to different one? I will do a different one.
Yeah, that one was. No, that was. It was actually in a lake and on a swan boat. But that's a whole other conversation. Adrian Heath was walking around the property. I had gone out for a walk myself. It was, you know, it was like more in the evening. And I'm wearing a Boca Juniors jersey. I'm a Boca Juniors fan. My whole family is. So I was wearing a Boca Juniors jersey just hanging out. I see an Adrian Heath and me cross paths. He's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, Boca. Reynoso? Emmanuel Reynoso? I'm like, yeah, he's a great player. He's like, good, because he never answers his phone. And I just start losing it laughing. Adrian Heath is, I mean, first of all, just one of the best guys in the league. Love hanging out with, love be able just to talk with that guy is great. But he was just so funny because he was, since then, been chasing this guy and still has to deal with the same issues that he's dealt with Reynoso. And yeah.
A lot of wrinkles to that story. Just gonna say. Domino on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Oh, but a pleasure to watch him. Pookie, how did he look in this game to you guys?
He looked fine. He tried to chip the keeper
right before Reynoso did it too. It
yeah.
Like, oh.
Because he just stared at the keeper and tried to chip him where Reynoso pretends, or I think he actually was going to side foot it and is so quick that he reacts to the keeper going down and then chips him. But Pookie's spacing, just you look at what it does for Bongi, you look at what it does for Reynoso. They basically only play 3 attacking players. They play a winger in Hassani Dotson or Kervin Arriaga,
or
like who
Joseph,
are
or mids. Joseph Real, Rosales,
who are D mids. And it's like, yeah, 3 is enough. So I think Pookie's done the job so far, which is finish the chances created for him. I don't know.
I'm just imagining Adrian like getting a D mid out and be like giving him like, you know, sheep's clothing and being like, you're a winger today. You're a winger, but you're really a wolf. Like,
hungry wolves.
Hungry wolves, man. Yeah. Hungry wolves.
And it's going to fit for them. It works. And I would say even in this game, they were not as offensive from the fullback position as they can be. And they still put up 4 goals, 3 of which were playing down a man for 60 minutes because Michael Boxall decided to take a kidney shot on an opposing player 30 minutes into a game.
Right.
I think
you got to hear both sides. That's all I got. You got to hear both sides.
I think you could see his reasoning, which was Crown Jewel based, but I don't know that
Crown Legacy FC. That's
yeah, Crown Legacy.
That's what we'll call it. That's
top team in the Eastern Conference.
You caught me right, the Crown Legacy.
Yeah. Man, you guys are broken. You guys can't handle
Steph, this is
you
a guys, normal show.
Yeah, we're off the rails. I love it.
You guys are not prepared for Messi. You are unprepared.
Unserious.
This. Yeah.
That's a bit of a Messi. With those first 30 minutes and everybody else, there's nobody.
We have made Weeby cry laughing twice today. We put the counter up, put the cry on the screen.
I want to give a congrats to Bongi for hitting double digits, all comps goals on the year. 2 in Leagues Cup, 2 in Open Cup, 6 in the league.
What's his last name?
Mwane.
That was nice.
Don't worry about it.
Speed.
All right. Next 3 match days. Here are the matches we're looking forward to every single match night. 5, 6 games. It's been fun so far. Been really fun. I got Galaxy Leon. Galaxy coming in with some momentum, with Ricky Pooj playing extremely well. Douglas Costa playing like the player we thought they were paying for, or hoped at least that they were paying for.
You've been on his train the whole time, right? You never got
off. I always never got off. Yeah. Just always locked in. I'm more of a commuter on the Douglas Costa.
We need Doyle back so that we can start recycling some takes.
I'm off and then I'm on. It just depends. Depends.
And transit. Sometimes you have to take a shuttle bus.
Yeah, you never know. You get the Bergen line, you get the main line. Don't know. Rogelio Funes Mori rumors to the Galaxy. Again, did you see that? They had him when Chicharito was signed.
They can't sign a DP until the winter anyway, unless they bought out somebody, which it would be like they can still do that.
I mean, Luis Suarez can come on, Tam.
Right. I mean,
And they have a ban until the end of the transfer window. So
they can't sign this player.
Correct. Well, until the winter. And he's still under contract, right?
And a loan counts.
Correct.
In the ban.
Correct.
And the only position they sort of have is center forwards. So it would basically make no sense. Cool.
So how is it still a report? How are those reports
because
still
out there? Because people say MLS interest, Galaxy, Miami. And that's how this was like.
You think there's another team in MLS that's looking at Rogelio Funes?
No, I'm saying Houston, your agent says
Houston would be dope.
I've got
Sebas,
we've got LA Galaxy
here on Sebas Ferreira.
Give me a new contract. There's an MLS team. The Galaxy are talking to us. You know.
Fair.
Look at my phone. Here comes the Galaxy.
Andrew would like to transition to Sebas Ferreira and Rogelio
Funes. No, I don't. We're gonna get there.
Okay.
You can do.
We're preparing for that ISO for it. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Get it set up.
You want me to talk about my game?
Get a couple shots up first.
Right. Yeah.
I will take my first quarter jumpers, and it will be Tigres versus Portland. Tigres is the giant of the region. They won CCL. Gignac's probably the best player on this continent over the last 10 years. Maybe just got upstaged by Messi. That would make sense now that I'm thinking about it. But this is a Tigres team from front to back that it's Nahu Guzman in goal. Carioca in midfield still. This is a team that is still that spine, and they still win. And especially in knockout competitions, like, they don't even try half the time in the regular season. You get 3 weeks out, they win those three games, they get into the Liguilla, and then they run the table. They were seventh in the Clausura, and they won the whole thing. So, like, this is their wheelhouse, and to see it in Providence Park, and I still believe that the Providence Park atmosphere is one of the best in the world. So you put that on display with that level of talent. And I think in the last few years, you would have said Portland, they're a good knockout team. They can play against the ball, but now you have Evander. And this is sort of the proof of, like, is this the formula to take Portland to the next level? Or are they going to continue to be a good knockout team because they defend with numbers and they work hard for Gio in big games? Or is this a team that can take Tigres at their best and sort of match them in this atmosphere? So I think this is going to be one of the coolest games of the group stage, and I think it has the potential to sort of elevate Evander into the Zelrayan Reynoso conversation.
Was a little disappointed in San Jose's performance.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That was – I wanted
it's a thin roster.
For more.
It's one of the ones where every time Tom tweets, I'm waiting for it to say San Jose, and I think I can understand why it doesn't. I think you're trying to assess, like, what is the right moves, and credit. RSL took, a year and a half under new ownership? I know it's not new ownership. It's just a new coach. But, like, I don't mind taking time to assess what you have to add to it. But they are operating with a thin group right now. And if not everything hits, they cannot contend with a lot of the top teams in the league.
Stefano.
We already talked about this game quite a bit, so I don't need to get huge deep dive into it. But RSL and Monterrey. Rayados could... you could say that they've been also one of the top teams in the continent for the last five, six years. I just love watching RSL play. These last 10 matches for them, or 11 matches now, they've become, to me, a must-watch team in MLS. Not just Chicho, Diego Luna's incredible. Just watching him play, what he's doing. Jefferson Sinsaverino's a different player now when you have Chicho and you have Luna doing what they're doing. So for me, it's just, I want to see if RSL, this will be the toughest game that they've had during this stretch, without a doubt. They are playing at home, so you'll have that backing of their fans. But I think that this could potentially be one of the more fun games that we'll watch in this tournament, without a doubt.
Sergio Canales, news for Monterrey today.
Wild. Try this every year, though. Like the
doesn't always work.
Jansen, where they're like, we'll sign a Gignac. We'll just sign a European player, and then they'll be Gignac. And it has never worked.
Right. Like Tovan.
Yeah. Well, that was with.
Seems like Pablo rested Justin Glad a little bit for this match as well. Just got him a little bit of a blow against Seattle. The smallest club in the group, Anders. So good opportunity just to give him a blow. Tom, What's the game you're looking forward to?
Yeah, another one that I feel like we've talked about a little bit, so I won't go too long, but Club America versus St. Louis City. Again, we already said that St. Louis didn't put out their best 11, but I'm done doubting the quality of this roster, their depth, whatever. They seem to just continue to pick up points, continue to be a difficult team to play against, even when they're not winning. So for me, I'm again, they've earned the benefit of the doubt throughout the roster.
This is going to be a fun game because St. Louis is one of the best atmospheres. Club America is one of the biggest teams. Club America also is the outlier in possession in Liga MX, similar to Columbus in MLS. And so St. Louis is in a group where they don't want the ball. They want to high press you. They want you to have the ball. They are playing the two opponents who fit it perfectly. But the question then is like, who can do what they do at an elite level? It was Columbus after 4.5 hours of a weather delay in the first game. So St. Louis is like right up against it again of like, can your pressure create turnovers? Because if not, Club America is going to say, thanks for opening up. Like, we're going to play right through you. And Jardine coming in as new manager probably feels more strongly about having possession than the previous manager in Ortiz. So like, this is going to be as clean a match as you can see. The question is what level Club America comes into this at. This is a club that historically has taken their eye off the ball for some competitions and then said afterwards, no, we meant it. We really did care. So this will be interesting.
Henry Martin, right, and
Quiñones.
Yeah. So they now have two of the top scorers from the last tournament in the team.
Quiñones was supposed to go to Portland back in the day, right? Wasn't that the rumor? I think that was a heavy rumor when he was at
Tigres. There were a bunch of rumors.
Quiñones has been linked with a lot, like, and this is somebody who has been not like offered around is probably the wrong word, but like these have been realistic discussions of if you put up like the money, is kind of within the realm of like realisticness.
What is it?
Possibility. Well, like whatever, like I'm talking about these other.
Weeby's trying to decide if he's going to put the money up.
How much? What I'm saying is that this is somebody who's like, yeah, like I would go to MLS. Right. So, like this is a guy that could have been a target for a lot of teams. And just the people that I've talked to around this are just like really surprised that nothing's came through it. And like, I've kind of on the same boat. He seems like somebody who would come to this league and do well.
I think if I remember correctly, he was the player Portland was chasing before they signed Blanco.
Is that right?
Because I think the number got higher and they said, well, let's go with something a bit more like sure of a thing. And Valeri had a connection with Blanco already.
Yeah, that worked out pretty well.
It worked out pretty well for them.
I'd say so.
All right. Have to win as we finish up this League's Cup rundown here. More to come. It's going to be a weird schedule for us. The days that there are no League's Cup games are the days we're going to tape. So just keep that in mind and stick with us as we get through this tournament. It's a lot. It's a lot of fun, but it's also just a lot of soccer. These teams have to win. Houston has to beat Santos, basically. Dallas has to beat Necaxa. NYCFC has to beat Toronto. The Revs have to beat Atletico San Luis. That's just to get through these three-team groups.
They can be
penalty kick wins.
Yeah. Right. They just, if they lose, or if they tie and lose the shootout, they are already out because these teams do not play. They've already played their two games. They will be behind the other two teams in their division.
It's more efficient to shoot from behind the line, but you know, like still the mid-range can
pay
off. Still win with the mid-range.
Yeah. Revs can just grind out a second 0-0 result, win the shootout, and just
play
fly right
play to the back of the basket, offensive rebounds, etc. Tom, transfers, WrestleMania to Columbus. This was the big news over the last week. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, I really love this move for the Columbus Crew. I don't know. I think this show is extremely pro Julian Gressel, so I know that I'm not alone in this. But kind of the backstory in here, and as I was reporting this out, as I broke this news, just in case you're curious, Weeby.
On The Athletic.
The Athletic?
Where could people subscribe to help your numbers?
The Athletic. Click through one of my articles. That'd be perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it. So Julian Gressel was traded to the Vancouver Whitecaps last year. And if you remember the story around that, he was pretty much notified when it got reported because DC didn't authorize Vancouver to talk to him or his agent before, until the paperwork was signed. And so it couldn't be, hey, like, do you want to come? All of this, how would you like your fit? Can we figure out a new contract for you? And so he wasn't in that process. He wanted to be on the East Coast or in the Eastern time zone with his family. He's played at Atlanta. He played DC, went to Providence College. So he gets to Vancouver. He enjoyed his time there, but the family stuff wanted to be back East. Vancouver put a really, really strong contract offer on the table, and he wanted to make a decision now. So if Vancouver decided, you know, it makes more sense for us long term to trade you rather than hoping that you stay in the end, like he wanted to have a firm decision, tell the club. So they decided, yeah, like we're gonna if an offer comes in, we will trade you. And they worked with him as well. He said, would Columbus work? Yeah, Columbus would work. And so Julian Gressel going to the Columbus Crew for $550,000 in GAM up front and then another $300,000 in incentives. I'd imagine the incentives are almost exclusively tied to him re-signing in Columbus because his contract is still up at the end of the season. There is no new deal as part of this trade. The two sides are probably well aware of what the parameters might look like. And again, for me, I think that this is a phenomenal fit. I was thinking of if you're Christian Ramirez, if you're Cucho Hernandez, if you're Jason Russell Rowe, you're pretty excited. Like, you got one of the best chance creators, the best crosser in the league for me. So, and playing in a front-footed team, a little bit non-say, like, I can't say enough positive things about the Crew.
That with Columbus, with Cucho, we were just talking about how, you know, he was like, all these assist numbers, the assists might start coming down with a guy like Gressel serving. He's going to stay in the box now. It's like, I'll stay right here and wait for these passes to come in to just try to get more goals on his end for sure.
I mean, under Nanse, with the way they've played, Gressel could play like five different
things. Yep,
it's true.
That's like not even a joke. He could be one of the two forwards. They could go back and play three in front. He could play center mid. Like, he could be all over the field for Nanse.
Could he even play, I mean, at this point, a center back?
Yeah.
Because they've been playing with fullbacks at center back now for like the majority of the season.
And you like could play, you know, then he steps into midfield when you're playing possession.
Like Andy Nahar-esque back in the day with DC.
It's fun to think what he can be for Nanse. It makes a ton of sense. He can't sign a pre-contract in MLS. That's not a thing to do.
So but he will be like, he's eligible for free agency.
Right. And it feels like there's not a chance he's going to leave MLS.
I would be very surprised
of what he's doing. So it's an interesting trade. It's one of those trades you see in the NBA, a lot of, like, for Vancouver, you acquire a player who will keep their value. So it's like Vancouver's getting back what they gave up. So they got Julian Gressel on a rental, which, not the worst thing in the world.
And they won two Canadian championships over 1 year.
Yeah. And they are in a playoff spot now. And they've been, I think they've pulled a lot of fans back in with the way they've played. I think Gressel was a huge part of that. I wouldn't say this is the biggest need for Columbus, but it's talent.
It's phenomenal. And I was just going to say on the Vancouver side that, like, this is, again, in starting that anecdote of how DC didn't tell him or authorize whatever, Vancouver looped him into this process. Vancouver, again, like, Gressel has posted a really long thank you note, like, on Twitter, like, reiterating how much he appreciated his time at the club and everything, but it's just, you know, family stuff. People understand. So it was good on the Vancouver end to have this reputation of, yeah, we'll work with you.
Where we stand right now, if you think Gressel probably gets a pretty big deal, let's say it's not Columbus, where would you see him after this year?
I don't know. Columbus makes too much sense for me to be anywhere else. I know that you ruled them out with the premise, but for me, like,
I think that's fair. I could
top of my head, like,
teams that I could see pay him out would be Philly, because if they lose Wagner and Mbizo, they don't sign DPs as much, like, use a ton of TAM on him.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Cincy if they lose Barrial and say, like, we'll give you a bunch.
Even if they don't lose Barrial, maybe if Arias is on a short term deal and they're saying, hey, you haven't been in
Lose Barrial, I don't know that they'll have the money to spend at that position as well. Nashville spent on Shaq Moore, so it feels less likely, but, like, those are the big ones.
Yeah.
And I know that's top four in a row because Gressel's good and he makes any team good, but, like, those are obvious ones, I think.
Is there room for a potential Atlanta return? I guess they have Brooks Lynn in there, but
but they signed him to a long-term contract, so probably not.
Yeah.
Again, I
could
think
play him as on the right wing.
Sure.
Charlotte could pay because they're desperate.
We'll see.
All those are great, but I mean, I want to see him continue.
Yeah,
in Columbus. It's just so fun.
Before we pick his next team, let's watch him debut.
Oh, he's a free agent.
I mean, it's true. It's just the Crew's already so fun to watch, and you added Julian Gressel, and it's just like, come on. I mean, they're going to be even more entertaining every time they're on the pitch.
It's one of the most Columbus moves of, like, they, alongside what we've seen Garth Ogoway do both in Seattle and now in Atlanta, value MLS previous production as much, if not more, than any team. You look at Christian Ramirez, even, like, their overseas transfers. Yeah. Our players coming back to MLS. They traded for Amundsen. They traded for Will Sands rights previously.
Nagby bringing him home, too.
Right. Yeah.
So it fits exactly with what they do, and he's just a high-level soccer player.
What's the NBA equivalent of Austin trading for Matt Hedges? I believe this is still reportedly.
Correct. And real quick, with Columbus, because it makes more sense to say it now, Milos Stegenik has returned to Red Star Belgrade.
Official?
Yeah, it went official today. That's first reported by me. But he also expressed to the club that his family were interested in a potential return.
So Gressel is going to play center back.
Yeah,
he is the only center back listed.
I'd imagine that Columbus are going to be in the market for another center back now after this day. And Matt Hedges is reported is going to Austin FC for I believe the deal is going to be around $500,000. When I was reporting on it yesterday, I was told that they were still ironing out final details, but the idea is going to be $500,000. So it's a bit of a teardown in Toronto now.
Bit of a teardown. They just signed him. He was like, this is the final piece.
Right.
We offered him more years than anyone else. This honestly worked out perfect for Matt Hedges. Like, straight up.
Like, I'm out.
Matt Hedges wanted back more to Texas. Years. Toronto gave him more years. He lived in Texas for his entire professional life. Toronto just got burned down. And he was like, I'm going back to Texas with a 3-year deal. Like, this is perfect. Congratulations. Matt. Well done, dude. It all came up, Matt Hedges, in this. Does he fix Austin? Or he's definitely a good option to have next to Cascante.
Yeah. I mean, he's better. He's another center back. They need center backs.
He's a big upgrade.
He struggled in Toronto with when the game was open against them, which for Austin, when they struggle, it's turnovers when they're high up the field and the game's open against them. But I think he will help them be in possession even more of like moving the pieces around, being prepared in rest defense. He's a threat on set pieces as well. For Austin, there's not a negative here. 500,000 is a starter, borderline starter in MLS, like that type of trade. So Matt Hedges is that. You've got him locked in for one more year. You'll take that. That's fine.
Was it a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal?
It's a 2-year plus two option triggers. That will, I forget what the, or I don't know.
Oh, they're
exactly.
Auto triggers? I just correct. Assumed it was team options.
No, they're triggers.
If he hits a certain number of games.
Yeah, and it's tied to personal availability and team success.
Okay. Well, oof. That wasn't going to happen in Toronto on the team success.
At this point, yeah. Definitely
not. Good job for him. Let's just run through these quick.
Do you like the center back depth at Austin?
It's getting better.
Okay, cool.
Brandon Craig.
Inside six center backs.
Yeah, 4-0 now for Brandon Craig's loan.
Yeah, true.
Tough for Brandon Craig. Yeah. Just gets there and gets pushed down the depth chart. Some other ones here. LAFC signed Spanish forward Mario Gonzalez from Braga.
TAM signing. Center forward. He can play all across the front line. But again, as I've been kind of reporting for a few weeks, their idea was a TAM player and also a young DP, both likely to be towards the attack. And so here's a TAM player, and they're still going to be working on a young DP.
Sam Surridge. We've seen photos of Mike Jacobs back next to someone who looks
Mike
like
Jacobs
Sam Surge.
Doppelganger.
Is this going to happen? What's
yes.
going on?
Yeah. So my athletic colleague, Daniel Taylor, reported this from the Nottingham side that Sam Surge, the deal was agreed, travel. As far as I know, the medical's supposed to be today, or he traveled around this time. So this deal would be imminent as long as everything goes well. Daniel reported it to be a $6.5 million US fee plus add-ons. So a significant outlay for 25-year-old striker, I believe, from Nottingham. He did well kind of in the championship. He was like, you know, like Lewis O'Brien. He didn't really break into Nottingham's Premier League squad. And like same thing with Richie Larea. Now Sam Surridge is the same thing. So he found himself on the outside looking in for playing time. And now he's going to come to Nashville as long as everything
those
goes
are
well.
Two really good MLS players. Not center forwards, which I
or nor $6.5 million, but
yeah,
but I don't know. He fits the profile that Gary Smith wants. Proper center forward. He's a big lad, as Gary Smith might say. And you know, they've been looking for Hany Mukhtar's running mate for 3.5 years.
I hope Gary Smith rolls in here one day and just pure American accent.
Yeah,
and he's like, well, I don't know what this guy's on. Well, that's a Britishism. So he probably, hopefully he wouldn't say that.
He's like a big dude. Point.
Yeah, yeah. This guy, he's like a power forward. Maybe he's like a center. That's how I'd classify him at D2 like, basketball. What are you guys talking about? You could see. I think you talked about with Hany, maybe a little bit of energy there of like helps coming and it feels pretty good. Maybe the All-Star break helped for him break, but like experience of like getting out of the monotony. And for Nashville, they just need to break. They needed to break the form, and it feels like Leagues Cup's a good time to do it. And obviously adding an actual center forward would help.
Seems like Houston needs a break from Sebas Ferreira, and they're looking to get one. Is this permanent to Vasco or a loan?
Loan. So Sebastian Ferreira, they're finalizing a deal to loan him to Vasco da Gama, who are bottom of the Brazilian league. The deal is until the winter. And because his $4.2 million transfer fee, there isn't a loan fee that's commensurate with that. Not on his DP spot is still counting. And whatever machinations of this deal, they're also not getting salary cap help, which is unfortunate, but more about getting Ferreira minutes. And then the idea is to sell him and move him on in the winter with maybe some value recovered. Maybe it works out at Vasco, maybe it goes somewhere else. But the idea of this is to let him play and then try again in the winter and hopefully that there's a permanent solution then. And they also sold homegrown midfielder Juan Castilla to Deportivo Cali.
Sold or loaned?
Sold.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. It's an interesting move.
Yeah, Colombian Youth International. I thought he was going to break into the first team this year.
They thought that too.
Yeah, but I think Brooklyn Reigns might have beat him out. But regardless, he was looking to play. He was with the Colombian U-20s at the U-20 World Cup. Highly rated kid. They have a sell-on fee as part of this deal. So good business by Houston.
All right, follow
Just
Tom Brogan
for
on Twitter.
Simon Betcher, Houston. You don't need to go out. It's
not a bad shout, honestly.
Yeah, give Betch some run. Let him hit some PKs. And
give Betch.
Just the PKs, Betch.
Yeah. It worked for Vancouver with Brian White.
What would you call Simon Betcher's fan club?
The Betch Boys, obviously.
Just a bunch of Betches around here.
Yeah. All right. Wait.
Weeby threw that off the backboard to himself.
Did you skip the rest of these moves?
Yeah.
You're going to skip Gabby Pereira being sold?
Maria and Anders are in my ear saying we have to wrap.
Gabby Pereira got sold from NYCFC, their best attacking.
And Tati Gassianos. Tati for $15 million to Lazio. Gabby Pereira for around $10
million. But selling
Wave
Tati
off Maria.
For
Wave
15,
off Maria. ISO. ISO.
Selling Tati for $15 million. Does that not give you the space to say, we made money. Can we keep a competitive team here? There's a team that struggles to score goals. They've sold their leading goal scorer.
Yep. Yeah.
How does that make any sense?
None.
Ooh. Okay.
Just reloading.
They're going to win MLS Cup now.
Reloading for the Queens Stadium.
I don't know.
What else would this be unless they go make a bunch
of
big signings?
It really doesn't make sense. At the beginning of the season, too, it's almost like I didn't really expect them to do anything. Now, all of a sudden, James Sands comes in. They get to players. They're like, okay, nothing. And then now they're just like, yeah, let's just sell Gabby Pereira. It just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, $10 million, if it is that, is massive.
It's definitely eight figures. And usually when teams say eight figures, it's low end. Right.
Otherwise, they'd be like, we sold him for... Well, if he got sold for more than Tati, that'd be absurd.
Yeah. So then Tati's it would have been club. They would have said club record because they said club record with Tati. And a couple other quick ones. Fernando Alvarez, Colombian Youth International center back.
He's an ETR man.
The CF of Montreal from Pachuca. And DC United midfielder Victor Paulson is finalizing a deal to go to UPenn.
You think he's going to play center back at UPenn?
I have no idea. Not really locked in on UPenn and what their squad
is.
Fact that they were like, we signed Victor Paulson, one of the best D-mids, Iceland International, and then played him at center back the whole time he was here.
So he goes to UPenn. How's he going to fit into the Ivy League, you think?
I was waiting for that.
I knew that was coming.
All right. Well, on that note,
that's KU journalism.
That is. We're out of here. Big thanks to our producers who are very, very patient with us, even when we ignore their instructions. So, Stefano, who
stepped
in?
To be clear, it wasn't in my ears, so I didn't.
Can we get a quick post-match interview with Steph? How did you feel? How did it go? What did you feel like?
We went off the rails, and it was perfect. Exactly what I expected.
This is probably one of the more off the rails shows.
You've been playing at Barcelona most of your life, where everything is positional play. This is how we play.
Yeah. Vibes.
I love vibes. I'd like to end this show with a tribute to American Arsenal fans. Arsenal.
Are you guys proud to have this now permanently saved?
Nobody's listening at this point.
Yeah, sure. We'll see you whenever we're here again. Adios.